I'd love for you guys to welcome up Domingo and Tiana Salas as they get ready to go somewhere, and we'll let them tell you about it. So give them a hand. Come on up, fam. As they're coming, you may or may not know that Tiana is our fifth child. But, you know, you guys can take your masks off if you want up here. We've hung out together. So they're getting ready to move. And we don't have a ton of time. Here, come over here so they can see you. They don't need to see me. Look at this. One day, those grandbabies are going to be gorgeous. All right, just saying. All right. But would you tell us where you guys are going and how we can pray for you?
Yeah, so I accepted a staff associate position in Young Life down in Newport, Oregon. And then T and I are going to be on staff in Young Life, just reaching kids for reaching kids for Jesus, adolescents specifically, range of 10 years old to late, 20s. And we had this opportunity presented to us 6 months ago, 7 months ago, and we've just been praying over it. You know, we were like, okay, that means that we're going to have to leave here. That's going to suck. Do we really want to do that? And so after prayer and asking for advice, asking for wisdom from our church leaders, but also from family, has been helping us understand that this is what we need to do. This is where we need to go. And even though it's going to be really hard, God's going to provide, and mm-hmm. He's going to be with us every step of the way.
Amen. Want to say anything, T?
Well, I was just sitting back there during worship, and I was thinking how I've been going to this church since I was like 8 and a half years old.
Oh, gosh.
Which is so crazy to me. Like, gonna have to find a new community.
Ooh, don't. You're gonna make your daddy cry right here.
But could you go to Proverbs 16?
I bet I could find that.
Come on, I'm timing you.
Oh, gosh. That sounds like a little PTSD from your childhood there. What's going on? All right.
Bible trivia.
There you go. Yeah, that's great.
I might need someone else to read it because of my voice. Where is it? Triggered. Okay. I'm like, I don't know exactly which one it is, but it came to my mind, the words, "In your presence there is fullness of joy. Mm. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore."
Amen.
I thought it was Proverbs 16.
Sounds like a psalm. Does anybody have that one memorized?
I know it's 16. Something.
Cool. I mean, say it. You say it. Say it.
We want to encourage you guys with that. Sorry, I kind of butchered that. But it's the word of God, and it's a good word that at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And like Domingo said, it's going to be hard being away from our community and from what we know. Okay. But I know that in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy.
Hallelujah. Whew, I'm going to hand that to you, and I'm going to read a passage that's totally going to make me cry. You guys, seems so self-serving, but the reality is these are young people that have grown up in the church and come to be in fellowship with us. And I met Domingo at a discipleship school that I was teaching at. And I'm just being honest, they already know the story. When I was praying through the kids that I was going to meet and see, I saw Domingo, and I just said, wow, I mean, what a sweet-looking dude, right? But more than that, it's just like, I think there might be something for him with my daughter. And I'm like, why? That just doesn't even make sense. I didn't even know him. And I wasn't like, here, take her, right? But I mean, I prayed. And when I met him, it just full of life and joy. And he's got a great story of God's glory. And they met the day after he and I met. And now they're married. And I'm not a matchmaker, and I'm not trying to say that. It wasn't because of me. The Lord Jesus Christ put that on my heart. But here's a passage. 3 John 4. I have no greater joy. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. you guys, you're not like my favorite children. I don't have any. And it certainly wouldn't be wise for me to do that online to say that I have favorite ones. But I'm, well, Zach, whatever. No, I'm just kidding. You guys, I just have no greater joy than know you're walking in the truth. And you're going to share that truth. Would I want you to stay? Only if God wanted you to. I'm not God. And so I want to pray and give you guys over. And I'm going to be familiar with a trip all the way down to Newport, Oregon on a semi-regular basis because we love you and we believe in what God's doing in you and through you. Church, will you join us in standing? If you wouldn't mind, just as a show of love, and just extend your hands towards these guys, and I, as daddy and pastor and part of the mission board, I want to send you guys out commissioning you in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you so much for Domingo and Tiana. Thank you that you have etched their names in the palm of your righteous hand. Thank you, God, that you have saved them and you want to show your love and your grace, your mercy, your power, your truth, your transformation through them. You've already done that and you're continuing to do that. And as they walk in your truth, may they see children, may they see their families, may they see more and more people come to know you in the Newport, Lincoln City, that whole area down there, Lord. That's a vacation spot, but people actually live there year-round, and it's a spot that has been maligned for lots of years and challenged. Though it's beautiful, it desperately needs the light of your love. So thank you that you are having them join people that are already in progress there, sharing your good news. God, may they have a safe trip down. May they land well, may they connect well, and may they remember the word that you gave them that we don't know the address of it, but we know it's in your word, that in your presence is the fullness of joy. May they remember that when they're sad, when they're missing people, when it seems like ministry is more challenge than victory. And may they remember the word that Priscilla reminded us of in Genesis 50, that whatever was intended for evil, God, you flipped the script for good. So may they see the good sooner than later. And may they continue, Lord, in this path that you have for them. I thank you for them. We send them as an extension of Crosswater by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. Love you. You have that voice or verse? Get that verse figured out, all right? Come on. Hey, you guys, I'm gonna try to give you a half an hour worth of message. Please continue to be people that support not only Crosswater, but through Crosswater, lots and lots of people all over the place. There's plenty of people here who need Jesus. They were called to Newport, Oregon. Not my first choice for them, but they're not mine to cling to. They're mine to give over to the Lord on a regular basis. So you guys, first things first, let's start with Jesus. Will you join me in John 1, 1 through 3? John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And you skip down to John 1, 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is Jesus. This is who life is about. He's the maker of life. He is life himself. He's the source. He's Zoe. The name Zoe comes from that, right? Zoe is the source of life, and Jesus is that. And so this year, we're wanting to be rooted in Jesus. Rooted in him. You guys may have seen the overall like idea of this at some point. We've got pictures for you. We've got a whole idea of being rooted in God. That you wouldn't filter the Word of God through your life, but instead you'd filter your life through the Word of God. There's so many people who are like, I don't know what God's saying. Hey, friends, he's actually written it down. Now, has he got something new for you guys individually? Yes, but it will not be in any way in opposition to the word. Pastor Josh talked about this. God has a plan. Don't be afraid. Even if the plan doesn't make sense, it's not going to go against his word. And so we need to know his word. And so for us to be rooted, we found a passage in Colossians that just really speaks this better and succinctly. And this is like the focus. No offense, Rachel. I mean, I love your passage, but this is the passage that we picked, right, for the year, right, is Colossians 2, 6 through 7. So because of Christ and the firmness of faith, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. By grace, we receive Jesus Christ as Lord. We recognize that he's the Lord. We don't make him the Lord. He already is. But since we're in him and we have this faith that we found out in Ephesians 2 is a gift from him, then you actually walk in him. Like you live it out. You don't just, oh yeah, Jesus. Yeah, my man. Like that t-shirt. Jesus is my homeboy. Oh, he's so much more than that. He does love you. He's crazy about you. He's the only one that truly loves you more than anybody else could. When everybody else falls apart, when everybody else dies, because we're going to, Jesus never, ever dies. Now, in him, we have life forever. But I'm here to tell you, if we're focused on Jesus, the day is better to live through. If we're focused on Jesus, the year is better to live through. Even the bad can be good. And so he goes, I'll say this, and I have it up on the screen for you. And Amanda, thank you so much. Welcome back, by the way. The Bible is where we find out about God, others, ourselves, and how to love him, others, and ourselves. If that seems too simple for you, I'm not going to apologize. I mean, we want to know how to live. God shows us. We want to know how to love. God shows us. You want to know how to lose? God actually shows us. You want to know how to win? God shows us. This is life, right? All of it. You're faithful in the little things, Jesus said. What's next? If you're faithful in the little things, then what? You're faithful in the big ones. Do you know that the big stuff becomes a lot smaller when you're already trusting God? But how about this? Something massive happens in our lives, something significant, something challenging, something dark, something scary, and we're clinging. We need help. Amen. But if you're already there, then when all that heavy stuff hits, it's like, I'm already there. I'm in progress. I'm going to see God show himself. Does he show himself as quickly as you want him to? Not always. Is he faithful? Yeah, man, he's always faithful. Are we? No, not always. I want to remind you of grace all year round, but I mean, we just read this in John 1, 14. Jesus is filled with grace. He doesn't hate you. He doesn't want to slap you and get you back in line. But he is filled with truth, and he's not going to pretend like your sin isn't a mess. He's not going to pretend like this world is perfect. As a matter of fact, he actually comes back because it's so jacked up. And he makes it right. But his kingdom is now for us. And so we're going to go through for the next 16 weeks, we're going to go through some different verses, 16 different verses to tell the whole story of God. And I'm excited about that. But I'm going to sum it up for you on what it looks like by this. God planted, man uprooted. God replants and restores. Can you just let that wash over you for a second? It's good news, bad news, good news. We end on good news, church. And so I'll bring you to the attention again really quick. 16 verses, one story. comes from this book, The Whole Story of the Bible in 16 Verses. I give a little shout out to Dr. Chris Bruno in this book. It's helped significantly. If you guys want a copy of this, we have a few. There's nothing exhaustive about this. You guys, we're going through 16 passages. There's so much more. And I'm going to unpack just a little bit for you this morning. But if we're starting with first things first, this is God. We want us to be connected to God. We want us to be able to know what God has for us. And I don't think it's just a matter of knowledge that you just read some stuff in the Bible and bam, you got it. No, we actually keep getting taught that we would actually grow in Him and walk in Him. Look, I have this precious, brand new grandbaby. His name's Benji. He's got such a great little smile and laugh, but he doesn't know how to walk yet. So he's not that cool. Not at all. I love everything that he's doing, except like when he pooped. But I mean, you know, you got to take care of things. But think about when kids are little. When we were little, you probably don't remember learning how to walk. But let me tell you how it went. Or something like that. You know, you learn how to walk by falling. You learn how to be successful by failure. And I think often what we've done in our lives is we've taken our eyes off of God and put it on creation. We put it on us, we're created. We put it on others, they're created. Put it on pain and agony, and that's part of creation and the fall of man. But rather than unpack all of that for you this morning, we're going to go to the beginning. As a matter of fact, in the beginning, God. God. He was even before the beginning, but that's where our story starts. So let's go all the way to Genesis. I mean, it seems like a smart place to start, right? First book of the Bible. I'm grateful that you and I have a chance to be together on this first Sunday of the new year. Genesis 1:1. Similar to what we just read in John 1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You guys, it's so beautiful, the creation story. Do you know that for 25 whole verses, the first 25 verses of the Bible, there's nothing about humans? It's about God. It's about Him forming the world and Him filling the world. Him being the creator, He spoke, and everything leapt into existence. We're going to talk more about humans being made next week. But if you just go all the way from one end of Genesis 1 to the other end, Genesis 1:31. So God made everything. And He saw everything that He had made, verse 31. And behold, remember that? Behold is look, check it out, pay attention. Behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. I'm not going to argue with you and debate about were these 24 hours. I am one of those freaks that believes that this really was an actual 6 days. If it wasn't, it doesn't change for me who God is. But there was morning and evening. That's a day. Whatever. I really don't care. What I do care about is God and that He spoke. And things happen, as Dr. Bruno says. I mean, have you ever been in the room when somebody in authority wants something to get done? I mean, Tommy, can I say what you do for a living, or is this going to be online here? Okay, Tommy's a firefighter. Is there, like, authority structure in firehouse there?
Yeah.
So if the captain says something, if the chief says something, the captain goes and does it, right?
Even
exactly. So, you know, the trickle-down theory, right? I mean, this is how it works. And that's just SeaTac firefighters. How about the president? Whether you love him or don't, he speaks and things happen. And he's nothing compared to God. You guys, this is where we start. This is where our story starts. It actually starts with him, not us. We think the story's about us. Nope. Written, directed, and starred by God. He's including us. What a huge gift that is. But he says that everything is good. So he makes everything, and then he says everything's good. So I have a little equation for you. God's power to create plus his authority to evaluate his creation equals God is the king of that creation. Make sense? It's super simple. I'm keeping it simple. Some of you guys have had, you know, a rough couple of days. I'm keeping it simple because I need it to be simple. God is creator, not me, and not you. God said everything was good. And creation is only good if God says it is. I want to ask you to let that sit for a moment. And then I'll ask you a question. When you look at creation, is it very good? What do you think? I mean, we got the snow, right? It's gorgeous, and yet it can be a problem. It's starting to become less gorgeous because of all the sand and all that, but like the white and the purity of it, so gorgeous. Not one snowflake is the same as another one. That's really, really cool. It's really good. And yet, it's cost people their lives. Some people's livelihoods are not happening right now, so how are they going to make their rent or mortgage and all that? I mean, it's good and bad, right? But God said it was all good. In a couple weeks, we'll talk about how it became not so good. But since that's coming in a couple of weeks, I wanted to finish today ruminating, chewing on, focusing on how good God is. You guys, I need to remember that he's good even if my situation isn't. I need to remember that he's good even if creation has fallen apart. I mean, fortunately, when I was showing you how people learn how to walk, I didn't hurt myself, but I could have because I'm at that magical age where anything can happen. Woke up like 2 days ago, and my back was like, not today, son. And I'm like, what? What did I do? Nothing. It's probably why. Let's go to Psalm 24. Will you join with me? And just, well, look at this. I've got a few things that I want to point out about it, but this is really how I wanted to end this 16 verses, one story, where we're going to unpack the whole story from creation to Jesus coming back. We'll do that in 16 weeks, so that'll bring us right to Easter. How cool is that? All right. This is a Psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. Whose is it? For he's founded it, listen to this, upon the seas, and established it upon the rivers. Friends, I could actually trip on that one for the rest of the time we have together today. Have you ever tried to build anything? Have you been successful at building something? I'm like right here on that. Forget ice, although it is water. But I love sports. Playing football, playing baseball, playing basketball, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I love it. It's become a bit of an idol for me, and God keeps taking that from me. And I had to give up coaching football and baseball just because it was so time-consuming and brought me just a lot more probably stress than it needed to. But I love it. We used to have our field over here wasn't turf field for football. It was grass. And it would become a soupy mess pretty quickly. And there was an area or two on there that would actually get deep with water. Because that whole area, I mean, Matt, you've been around for a while in this community. Didn't it used to kind of basically be swamp? It's kind of tough to build on a swamp. But you can dig down and you can find some ground. The Mariners built this huge, it used to be Safeco, now it's T-Mobile Park, and it cracks me up because you could call it T-Mobile Home Park. Anyway, so it's T-Mobile Park. And it actually is built kind of on landfill, and they had to really get down deep. And when they got down really deep, you guys, you know what? There was a lot more water. And yet, they were able to find ground. I will go on and not give you all the detail and be so extemporaneous on the Psalm 24, but I wanted to stop and say, what did God found the earth on? Water. Try and build something on water. Hey, what's the foundation of you? Hey, God, I see you're building something there. What do you got going on? Oh, I'm just creating the world. What are you building it on? Water. What? Seriously? Yeah. Why? Because I got it like that? Because I'm God? Because I can do that? Do you know who makes all of it work? God. Check out Psalm 104 if you'd like, just like some aside reading. But man, you're just giving us so much to read. It'll be all right. Don't forget this. Love for you to read with us. This will keep you updated. The 100 essential verses in the first 100 days of the year. And if you feel like you're behind, you only have 3 chapters to read to be caught up. And these aren't chapters like a novel. These are like 26 verses. You get to 40 and you're like, gosh, that's long. And yet, we don't mind reading or watching things that take a lot longer than that. So let's adjust. Okay, so back. This is how awesome God is. He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. That's the only person who can do it. And Jesus was the only one who could actually do that. And only in him can you and I be pure in heart. And he wants us to be. He loves us. He wants us. It's not something you earn. It's not something you attain. It's something you receive. His holiness, his goodness. The person who doesn't swear deceitfully, who doesn't lift up his soul to what is false, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. I'm going to say it again. If you and I need a Savior, that means we've done something wrong and we need help. Can anybody in this room, anybody online, admit that they need a Savior? Can anybody admit that they're not the Savior? Sweet, we're in a good spot. Happy New Year, you're in a good spot. Your foundation is God. He's your Savior, and he wants to give you salvation. You can't earn it, but you can grow in it, and you can walk in it, and you can be rooted in it, you can be built up in it. Not just sitting around, but walking it out. So he will receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Open the door. Stay available to who this King of glory is. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He's the King of glory. His name is Jesus. He's the King of glory. He's the hope of hopes. He's the truth. Listen to this. By God's grace, this King of glory does not want to rule creation alone. And so next week, on to our second of passages, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the fact that this King of glory wants to share. And he made people in his image. Is that Joe? Oh, boy. All right. No. I don't want to embarrass him. All right. Okay. So, as we finish, may we just actually launch from this God who actually founded all the creation on the waters and trust him and believe him and grow in him and keep coming back, because you're going to make mistakes. You're going to learn how to walk by falling down. You can learn how to juggle by dropping things. You can learn how to live by dying to yourself, because the King of glory showed us that. Again, Jasmine and Brian and I were talking, how many days do you get to live at a time? Just one. Just one. That should be freeing, actually. What about this and that? Jesus said, it's coming. This is the day you have. Yesterday's over. Today's the only day that you have. Doesn't mean don't prepare and don't plan and don't pray for what's coming. But if you're focusing on that, you're going to miss what's happening here. And he's got something for you today. This is the day that the Creator has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. He loves you so much. He's never, ever forgotten you. In Isaiah, it says that maybe a mother who's nursing their child could forget. I don't know how that is. That's a pretty intimate move right there, right? But he says maybe a mother could forget the child of her womb that she's nursing. But I'll never forget you. I've engraved your name on the palms of my righteous hand. He's got you. Let's stay rooted in him. Let's grow in him. If you're able to come on Tuesday and walk through these questions with us and go through the passage, and look, there's so much more, so we got a lot to talk about. But if you could do that, please join us on Tuesday, 7 p.m. There is no child care. I know that can be a challenge for some of you, and we're not trying to alienate people. We're just trying to go with the resources that we have. But come in, and if it gets big, then we'll sit in here and have a cool conversation. If it stays kind of small and intimate, we'll be in there. But we'll be together, and we'll go over these questions. I do have the questions for you up on the screen if you want to look at them, but also go back to that little app, and there's some good stuff on there. So many good things, and you can find out a whole lot. Oh, Bill, I just saw that you sent me. It's Psalm 16:11, not Proverbs 16:11. My daughter, she needs to learn the Bible, or she's out. Oh, wait, she's already leaving. Okay. You guys, there's some cool questions. I'm going to tell you the one that hit me pretty hard was question 3. Why do you think the Bible tells us that God created, but doesn't tell us how he created? Come on now. Oh, boy. He spoke, man. He gets things done. So, Father, we love you and we praise you. We recognize that you are God and we're not. We recognize also that first things being first, it was you. You made. You planted. We uprooted, but you restore and you replant. God, may we trust you. You're awesome. I love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.